Welcome to Bookish Podcast with Kath and Al, a podcast about books-ish. A quick disclaimer before we start, there may be some spoilers, so please save the episode for later if you don't want any. And also, please follow us on social at We Are Bookish Pod. We hope you enjoy.
Hey, girl.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
I just need to put my phone on Do Not Disturb. Not that anyone's going to contact me, but just in case.
I know. I seen at your house party on the weekend. It was very, very nice. Blown up your spot.
I had a house party, guys. It was great fun. I moved house, as we discussed already, and had a house party, and it was fun. I'm not really a good house party host. I like hosting. I like hosting gatherings as opposed to parties. So I was a little bit nervous about it, but it went very well. Nothing broke. There were no major spillages and no major drama, which is quite remarkable.
So there was some drama. I'm joking.
That's one for like outside of the recording.
Okay. I can't wait for you to tell me.
Yeah.
No, it was a lot of fun. You guys, you and your housemate did very well. So, no, thank you. It was a lot of fun. I was sad to leave in the end. I had to, but...
You did what? Anyone
I stayed
home,
longer than I was supposed
home.
To.
Ellie doesn't know how to get home, but she'd go home. I don't know if I should be offended that she managed to go home at my party, but that's fine. We actually had some stragglers stay in the end. We had like a few additional.
Did you?
Yeah, but none of my, like they weren't like my guests, they were Lucy's. So I just had Tom in the end. So we just like went to bed and then like in the morning they were all like hungover and like not slept well because we were slept on the sofa and stuff. And me and Tom were like, we slept.
Did you get breakfast with everyone? Did everyone have breakfast or they just leave?
They all had breakfast before we got up. So we ordered Mackey's. So, yeah. But we waited till 11 so that we could get normal Mackey's, not breakfast Mackey's.
Oh, breakfast Mackey's is the best.
I don't really like it. I'm sorry. Well, not really. No, I'd rather have real Mackey's. Lunchtime Mackey's.
I'm all about the breakfast McDonald's.
Sorry, but chicken selects just literally make my entire... Like, if I'm hungover and I have a chicken select, I'm instantly healed. So, I don't even really eat that much meat anymore.
See, I'm all for the mozzarella dippers or whatever they've deep-fried in... The deep-fried cheese, whatever that is. Whatever they do. The brie bites or the mozzarella stick.
When they do the three cheese bites, they're delicious, but they're limited edition. You don't get them all year round. I know too much about
the jalapeno ones as well.
My old housemate, she ordered 20 nacho cheese bites instead of 20
That's
chicken
it.
Nuggets. And she was gutted. That was a sad day. She almost cried. I was concerned for her well-being that day.
You can't really with the chicken nuggets, can you? They're elite.
Oh, yeah, to be fair though, I don't normally get them, but I did get... I'm going to stop talking about my McDonald's order now because it's making me really hungry. So let's talk about something else. Let's talk about something more exciting. In that, we still haven't updated you guys. You would have seen it on Instagram, but we did go to Beth O'Leary's book launch, which was so exciting.
We had so much fun.
We felt like real bookie people. We were like, oh my God, we're in the...
It was just so nice to actually meet people that we had spoken to like via Instagram in real life. And that's what was so nice about it, to have that opportunity to actually connect IRL. So shout out to you girls and guys and everyone in between.
If you're listening, if you're listening.
And then we got to speak. We went with two of the girls to dinner afterwards, which was great. It was so much fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was really fun.
And just to meet Beth, actually, yeah.
Yeah, she's so nice. Like, so ridiculously nice. So, that was good. She
was very nice. She literally came up to us and she was just like, hey, guys. Like,
look, right.
How are you?
She signed our books. It says, to Kath, thanks for coming to my book launch. random. Life goals complete. Also, finished it the other day. And it was...
And mini non-spoilery review.
So I would say took me a while to get into it, but by the end absolutely loved it, like was crying like a little baby at the end. And I basically like I was struggling to get into it, and then like there's sort of like a twist, not really a twist, but kind of a twist. And after that I was like, oh my god, I'm so invested in this, I need to know what happened. And then I went to bed at like 1 a.m. and I was so tired the next day, and I got up early to finish it. So that's how invested I was. So there you go, that's my mini review.
Read it, guys. Read it. And there's another hardback. Hang on. We've got... I feel like I've got two hardbacks. I've only got three of her books. I don't have the road trip one.
Yeah,
so I've got one paperback and two hardbacks.
The road trip's probably my least favourite. I would say the flat share, then maybe the no-show and the switch on a par, and then the road trip's my least favourite.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I'm looking. I started it. I've been. I've just not had time to read. I've had time to read people's award-winning entries, but not time to read an actual book. So.
Well, once I
stop doing work
when
stuff.
When you go away, you can read.
Yeah,
anything.
I'm doing lots of traveling in this next month, which I'm really excited about. And so I am actually thinking about all the books I'm going to take with me.
Right, I'm going to write you a list of the ones you promised me you would read, actually.
I have to read Careless, because we're going to do an episode on that. And I have to read this, The No Show, because we wanted to do an episode on that. And I was excited about getting Beth O'Leary's book. But then there are a few more that I said, I promised Kath that we would read. Maybe
the No
another
Show...
one.
The No Show is a hardback though, so you probably don't take it on holiday with you.
True. Oh no, but see, I won't get time to read No Beef unless, just face it, that's not gonna happen.
No.
But actually no, maybe I will. If we've got a downtime by the pool and stuff, I might actually do that. Or by the beach, because I'm more of a beach person than by the pool. But I don't know. Yeah, maybe Careless, and maybe another paperback you suggest.
See what takes your fancy.
Yeah, because let's face it, I'm going to buy a book whilst I'm in the airport.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, what are you going to buy? Shit. I'm so excited. I want to go to an airport and buy a book.
Yeah. I love airports. It's my favourite thing. I actually really enjoy my time in airports. I can make a whole thing out of it. You know how some people are just like, nope. Go in last minute, get me in, get me on. I'm like, no, departure lounge is a whole experience. You go in, you go shopping, you buy some
get
makeup.
Your very overpriced breakfast.
Oh, no, I don't. I actually sit in the Wetherspoons and have a full English.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I have like a little a glass of Prosecco. Like I do, I go out. I go all out.
She goes
it.
Out. She goes in. I'm flying from London City for the first time ever.
Oh, you're gonna have so much fun. I love it.
I'm so excited to get the tube to the airport. Well, it's not really a tube, is it? You have to get the DLR. But I am really excited about that, because I hate getting to airports. Like, it's so annoying when they're so far away and you're like,
do you not tube to Heathrow?
Well, I actually haven't flown from Heathrow since I've lived in London. So, Heathrow is probably, I'd say Heathrow is up there with London City, in terms of getting to it, I'd say.
Stansted is a nice one for me, because that's closest to me.
I did pay double to fly from London City rather than Stansted, because I was like, I'm too old for this shit. I'm not flying, but I live in South London.
True,
To get to Stansted, I looked it up, it was going to take like 2.5 hours from my flat.
It's like, it's like half an hour for me.
Yeah.
Like 40 minutes on public transport, half an hour to drive. So I'm like...
Gatwick's probably not that bad for me. Maybe.
Gatwick's terrible for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. So anyway, UK Air Force. Back to Southampton though. Which road...
home.
Yeah, basically. And you can... You couldn't fly back where we're going on the like on the day we wanted to fly back to London, you had to fly to like, I think you could fly back to Stansted. And I was like, nah, I'd rather go to Southampton. So, yeah. The hate I have for Stansted is real.
Why? It's so good. You just get the fast train, takes you into London, Liverpool Street. It's all of 40 minutes. Yes, I'm going to read Careless, and I'm going to say Careless because that was on the long list for the Women's Prize. We now have a short list. And Kath, you once again, you've read long list books and not short list, all the short list books, what? Although you do have a short list book that I bought you for Christmas. So I'm quite proud of that. I picked something before it made a list.
I'm proud of that too, because also I was like talking my boyfriend's ear off about which book I was going to read next. He had no idea what I was talking about, and I was just talking at him, and I was like, oh, I think I'm going to read this one, and I decided on it, and then the next day the shortlist got announced and it was on the shortlist, and I was like, ah,
yay.
But the other books on the shortlist, some of them do look quite depressing, not gonna lie to you.
Someone was really negative in the comments about the shortlist.
Really?
I think not negative, but just like, oh, I think they had written something like, oh, how predictable. And I was like, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
I don't really fancy reading The Great Circle. That's not really...
It's a bit too long, isn't it?
It's just, it doesn't seem like my kind of thing, but maybe it'll be good. I'm sure it's good, but yeah. And then there's a couple, I looked at the synopsis of the other ones, and they all just seem quite depressing. So, but the Women's Prize always surprises me. Like, Piranesi, great book.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant book. Never would have picked that up, but because it was on the list, I was like, oh, I'll give it a go. So... I was like, because you know, Ellie, I was like, oh, maybe I'll do that thing where I read the shortlist before the winner gets announced this year. But I looked at them and I was like, oh, they all seem quite depressing. I'm not sure I want to read that many depressing books.
I don't think I can do it. I'm just looking at, it's very mixed comments.
I mean, I literally haven't read a single one of them yet, so I can't possibly give my opinion, even though I just did.
I would say, like, there were a few on the long list that I actually did want to read that didn't make it to the shortlist.
That happened last year. Like, what did we read? Small Pleasures, Because of You. What else? God knows. But we read loads that were on
there. New Transition, maybe.
Yeah. Although, mixed opinions on that. But yeah, so it's not a big, big bookish week, although by the time this comes out, probably old news.
Who knows? I haven't been reading a lot, but obviously because it's me, I've been watching a lot of telly, which includes Moon Knight, which we can have another conversation about soon because it's very good. But this is the first time I think I've watched like a Marvel IP where I've actually been genuinely like confused by what's going on.
Oh really?
Also, we've watched lots of Bridgerton. We won't go on about that because that's old news. I have traded my selling Sunset watching for Heartstopper because I'm bored of people dragging Christine. It's boring. Can we have a new narrative? I don't care about Jason and Christian. I just don't care. It's boring. Get Emma off my TV. She doesn't bring anything to it. Like, we need to spice up selling Sunset because it's not giving.
It's lost its appeal.
It's very scripted now.
It's also just the same thing. Although, I don't know, I don't know what episode you've watched, but there's one bit where Christine meets Mary. Have you seen that bit?
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, did you know it was my birthday today? And I was like, and she was like, yeah, I did actually, it's in my calendar. And I was like, there is no way that Mary remembered her birthday. There's no way that she would have had that conversation with her on her birthday.
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like, I will finish it. I will finish it, but I've been watching Heartstopper instead because I genuinely think it's just given me all the feels. That Heartstopper is heartwarming and it's given me all of the feels. I was going to watch it anyway, but then I watched
Jack Edwards, like, reading the comic books, the books, they're books and they're a comic, and there's four of them. And I was like, oh, you know what, I was going to watch this anyway. And I did, and it's like Lara Jean type vibe feels. The music's great, the storylines are great, the characters are great. It makes you want to be young and in love, and it's all of that falling, like, finding your person and falling in love slowly, do you know what I mean? But
I used to watch
but with
it.
LGBT plus storylines.
Do you reckon Tom will watch it with me?
Yeah. Ask him to. I will. It's just really sweet. It's like just being, it's got to all the boys I loved before vibes. It's just very lovely YA. I think that everyone should read and watch.
Lovely. Well, I'll make sure to do that. ASAP. ASAP. I've got so much TV to watch. I'm so behind. Oh. This is like, I'm always behind on my TV. Ellie's always behind on books. We should combine our knowledge.
We'd be super powered if we could. Yes, because I was talking to you about, oh, I won't go into it, but at your party, obviously, there's lots of big, like, celebrity trials going on.
No, because literally Ellie was talking to my housemate's friend. I walked over, didn't understand any of the references, and was like, okay, I'm gonna leave you do it.
Because there's lots of stuff with, like, Rob Kardashian and Blac Chyna and their relationship, and then also there's a lot of stuff with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Oh my god.
If you've been on, like, social media, if you've been on TikTok and stuff like that, people have pulled lots of there's lots in the discourse. Google it, it'll be there. But we had, like, a full-on conversation. So yeah, when Kath came over, she was just like, I do not know what's going on. Lots of hot takes and viewpoints.
I've since been like fairly following it, to be fair. But yeah, but anyway, we've blabbered on for bloody ages. It's because we haven't spoken to each other. This is what happens, guys. We should have had this chat before we recorded. Welcome to our lives. Also, Elle, you know the plant you bought me? It's got brown tips, I'm concerned. But it's got two new leaves. But the tips are brown. If anyone can help me, it's a prayer plant. So if anyone knows how to fix brown tips on a prayer plant, hit me up.
Very strange.
It's beautiful though. It looks
so cute. Is a really pretty plant. I had two plants, one for you, one for my friend Michelle, and they're gone now and I feel plantless.
You need to get some more. But anyway, today we're going to talk about It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover, because it is the book of the year, I would say, or last year probably, because we were a bit late to the party.
I'm not sad about being late to the party.
No, so just to give some context to anybody that lives under a rock and doesn't know what this book is, I don't know why you'd be listening to that episode if that's the case, but just in case, aka hi mum, it's got a 4.43 star rating on Goodreads. And it is literally everywhere. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's raving about it. Everyone's saying, oh yeah, it's such a good book, I can't believe it, best book ever, favourite book, blah, blah, blah. So we read it, and we do not agree, actually. This is probably going to be one of our first episodes, we're talking about a book that one of us at least didn't love. And we're not going to be, like, super negative by it. We appreciate that, like, it's a good book for a lot of people, and a lot of people obviously enjoyed it. But we just didn't love it, did we?
Yeah, it just wasn't what I was expecting. And I'm fine. I didn't have any idea about what the themes were coming into it. So it took me by surprise, but I'm fine. It's nice to walk into a book sometimes and not know what to expect. But I don't know if I wholly like the way it landed. And I was, here's me going, oh, if we just change these bits and change things around and blah, 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 then this would be great. And also, I think I just didn't know how this book was actually, really, really, where this book is, how it would be positioned or if that makes sense. As in, like, I think it's adult fiction, but to me it felt like YA, and I think I'd be more, not accepting, but more understanding. Yeah, I would get on with it a lot better if it was actually YA.
Well, I think that's part of the problem with it. Because I feel like we were, like, sold it as, like, just an adult book.
The clue was when it was big on TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, we should have learned that, really.
Because the general target audience there is younger, at least 10 years younger than me, so...
Yeah, so, but actually, to just touch on that briefly, like, there's been a lot of stuff about TikTok and BookTok and, like, what it's done for the publishing industry. It's been in the press a lot, like, the mainstream press, not just, like, publishing press. Like, Waterstones has, like, as seen on TikTok, like, Amazon have, like, TikTok book or the TikTok sensation. Like, it's really, like, really fascinating how much it's done for, like, the publishing industry. And, like, this book's from 2016 or, like, 2015, something like that. It's, like, five or so years ago. And it's just all of a sudden had this massive resurgence because of TikTok. And I think it's really cool that TikTok's doing that to the publishing industry. But I am yet to read a so-called TikTok book that I really loved. So I think that's quite interesting.
Funnily enough, so we're talking about that, there was, I'm trying to find it now, I put out, like, newsletters each week, and one of them was about shopping on TikTok and how that's done massive, it gets done wonders. BookTok, yes, absolutely. There's been lots of writing on that, but also just shopping and commerce on that platform in comparison to, like, other social media websites. But I was Malibu Rising is another one that I've seen as a as seen on TikTok book.
But is that a TikTok book? Because I think that was popular prior to TikTok.
No, it was, but it's been picked up there. And so when I saw it in, like, a Waterstones or somewhere else publishing place where it was, like, as seen on TikTok.
Was,
like,
that not Seven Husbands?
Like, and I was just like,
or was it both?
Oh, one of them, either or. I reckon both of them, to be fair, which is quite funny because, like, they're actually. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that this isn't good. I'm just like, I actually enjoyed them more. I actually think that they're better. I hate to be.
Well, obviously, like, everybody has. You know, there's. Like, I always come back to that quote from The Family Upstairs. What a profound book that is. It's like, there's no, like, if it's been published or whatever, it's not a bad book. It's just, like, not for you kind of thing. I think maybe that's how we felt with Colleen Hoover. But I find it, I think I agree with you that I think if it had been positioned to me as a YA novel and I didn't have the, like, hype around it in my head, then I probably would have enjoyed it more or, like, thought more of it. Maybe it's because I was expecting it to be, like, a masterpiece and, like, didn't really realise that it was, like, YA vibes. Because you come at it from a different lens then, don't you?
Yeah, and I feel like it very much sets it up with a Twilight vibe in the beginning. And then it takes, like, a turn. And I was saying this, we have, my friend follows us on, well, we follow a friend of ours on our Instagram. And I'd seen that she had posted it on her story because she has a book club, and I was like, I just want to get your thoughts on this. How did you feel? And she was just like, yeah, it was for her. She works in care, so she sees a lot of. So for anyone who hasn't read the book, there is a domestic violence storyline that is, you know, that runs through, and they work with people, very, very many people that are in that situation. And so for her, she was just like, maybe it's me, maybe it's because I work in this, that this didn't land as well, and I shouldn't, you know, take my job hat off and put on the hat of someone who doesn't see this day to day. Then maybe this is giving, like, a platform, or, like, it is giving a platform, of course, but it is educating people in a way. But we had the same vibe. Maybe this should be positioned to a younger audience as opposed to an adult one, because I think that, I feel like EastEnders did more with that storyline with Chantel and Grey. That's saying a lot. I mean, obviously EastEnders is a soap in the UK that's, like, over the top, but that to me did more in that sense than maybe this one did. But she's telling, and then I feel bad saying that because also it's coming from a perspective that she has had that is personal to her. You know?
Well, yeah, so I think you like read the book and then the author's note is actually quite like...
I would read the author's note.
Says a lot, like it makes you respect the book a lot more. So I think like it starts off being like, my earliest memory in life was from the age of 2.5 years old. My bedroom didn't have a door and was covered by a sheet nailed to the top of the door frame. I remember hearing my father yelling, so I peeked out from the other side of the sheet just as my father picked up a television and threw it at my mother, knocking her down. I mean, that's quite like... She was 2, like, or 2.5, it says. So, like, she's obviously, like, speaking from experience. Like, I feel like I don't want to be like, oh... I don't know, it's really hard, isn't it? Because it's obviously, like, a really, like...
Yeah. I mean, she goes on to say that her...
Yeah, she goes on to say that her parents split up and then that they were very good about making sure that she had a relationship with her dad where it wasn't sort of marred by their own personal relationship. And so, and then didn't she say something like her stepdad walked her down the aisle, not her actual dad, because actually her stepdad fulfilled the role in a way that her dad couldn't really.
So
I appreciated that because I guess that it shows that dynamic where our main characters, we should talk about the plot, but where our main characters end up towards the end is very much in that same space where Lily makes a decision for her and her family and her child and him that is best for them, which means that they can continue to be a family unit, but without the violence.
That'll be why Atlas is there then. Be that stepdad.
Right, but I could have done without Atlas. I understand why he's in the book, but I feel like he should have just been like a concept.
Yeah,
right?
And then...
Not an actual thing. And then when she rounds the corner at the end, boom, yeah. Atlas. And then yeah. I want my second book. That's what I would have loved.
Boom, I didn't need... second book, yeah.
So boom, second book. And then I want to know about...
Yeah, because I don't know, because also that doesn't really fit with her saying, like, so she says, by no means do I intend for Riley?
No, because the baby was called Riley.
So by no means do I intend for Riley and Lily's situation to define domestic violence? Domestic abuse, nor do I intend for Ryle's character to define the characteristics of most abusers. Every situation is different, every outcome is different. I chose to fashion Lily and Ryle's story after my mother and father's. So I think that's quite interesting to like have in mind, because like I think what we're saying is like, well, yeah, we felt it addressed some topics a bit like YA fiction does.
So yeah, it is very much like YA. The points really have to be loud for people to understand what's being said. It has to be very obvious.
I think I've read better books on the same topic.
Me too. More nuanced.
Yeah. It is quite intense though. So if it is a trigger for you, if domestic abuse is a trigger, definitely avoid, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, to begin with, the story is around a girl called Lily Bloom. She's in her mid-20s. Lily Bloom? Yes, because...
Yeah, don't. You can't talk about her name.
Her name is Lily Bloom, and she meets a guy called Ryle.
No, but she's called Lily Bloom, and she has a bloody florist. I can't. I actually... Yeah.
Wasn't it like Lily Blossom Bloom, and she's a florist?
No, because actually I can't, because doesn't that just scream YA to you?
Yes.
Maybe it is YA. Maybe we're being really unfair, but I've never seen it described as YA. Anyway, carry on.
So we meet Lily Blossom Bloom on a... She makes a point about her name, by the way. But she meets this guy called Ryle on a rooftop in Chicago on a night where she's just buried her father. And she's... you know, decompressing on this rooftop that has amazing views, and he is there also decompressing. She finds him a bit odd at first, and then they get chatting.
Mm.
And they have a really kind of... their conversation then goes into tell me a naked truth, something about yourself that no one else would know. So they end up building a rapport on the on the rooftop. But there's a few things that people have pointed out since I've like read this. So that it even got that far, because you know, if you meet someone that gives you, that makes you feel uncomfortable in a situation like that, to then follow up with them and end up with them later on down the line, or just to be, to give so much of yourself in that moment when you have initially had icky vibes is a bit weird. Also, when they're talking about people being bad, and Wiles says something like, there's no bad people, just people that do bad things, which I find problematic.
But I find that problematic because they just didn't really explore it. As in, like, they did because he did a bad thing and then blah, blah, blah. But, like, it felt surface level to me.
It's too simplistic of a thing to say without really actually then going into it, without going into it further. As in, yes, people do bad things, and I don't think people are all inherently bad, but there are some genuinely very bad people. You can say that bad people don't know they're doing bad things because they think that what they're doing is good. Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the vibe, isn't it? Like,
but they don't say that.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean? That bad people will think they're doing good things and will never think that what they're doing is bad. Yes. Right? Because that exists. But to say that there are no bad people,
it's a bit much.
It's just too simplistic of a thing to say without really.
Also, what does that mean? Like, if you do something bad, I get the argument of, like, if you do one bad thing, you're not an inherently bad person. But where's the line? Yeah. Like, if people continue to do bad things, they're not just doing bad things. Aren't they just a bad person at that point? I don't really know. And I guess it depends on what the bad thing is. But yeah.
There's a choice, isn't it? It's a conscious choice whether you're being bad or not. And then one, knowing it, and two, not knowing it. Do you know? Some people do know that they're doing bad things. Some people are conscious of that. Some people genuinely don't know that they're doing bad things because they think what they're doing is inherently good. But it's like that argument with war, right? Like, you could be on two opposing sides and you could genuinely believe that the cause that you're fighting for is good. But obviously, the other perspective is that that's not the case. So,
and also, it's the whole, like, what is good, like, philosophy. We could get into, like, a massive, like, debate about what good is. And we're not going to do that. We're not going to do
that. Not today. But I really didn't like that. I read that and was like, No, I don't agree with you there. I was like, I understand what you're trying to say. It's a bit too simple, but yeah.
Yeah.
But they leave this roof. Doesn't he want to say, doesn't he say to her on the roof that he wants to sleep with her? That happens then? I feel like it does.
Probably.
He's like, I'm attracted to you.
The other thing I would say about the book is I don't really remember that many details. And I didn't read it very long ago. So I feel like that says how much I, you know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
They meet, she's not into it, and then all of a sudden he's like, I want to fuck you, and then she's like, I'm into this, and then they don't see each other for 6 months. And then
a stranger on a roof that had just abused a chair said that to me.
I'd be
like, please get me out of this very dangerous situation.
He kicked the chair, didn't he? He was very violent in that moment.
Don't get me wrong, like, I don't mean that about, like, the rest of it, because obviously, like, once you're in an abusive relationship, it's a cycle, blah, blah, blah. I didn't mean that. And, like, yeah, but I just mean the initial meeting, like, once she's in it and he, like, hits her and stuff, like, totally can, like, see that and, like, feel really bad for her as a character. Like, I actually did quite like her character and, like, did feel a lot of sympathy towards her as a character. And her, like, I did enjoy her character. I didn't like the characterization of the blokes, but I liked her characterization, I'd say.
I mean, they have this long conversation. 6 months later, she's opened her own flower shop. I think that sort of spawned out of that conversation. And this woman walks in, asks for a job, happens to be the sister of Ryle. They become fast friends. He walks into the shop, they have a house party. She goes to the house party. There's a picture there. That picture is of her. He took it when they're on the rooftop. He put it, blew it up and put it on his wall.
Which is weird.
Red flag.
Really weird. But this is the thing. It's like he doesn't do bad things. But the whole, he's not a bad person. Like, he just does bad things, whatever. He continues to do bad things. That is a bad thing. That's not good. I don't think that's good. I think that's weird. I think it's creepy.
Red flag. I just, it does, let it sink in for a minute. If you had met someone briefly and you didn't think they were going to see, you were going to see them again, but you got this really weird photo of them, just very distorted, and it was, and then you blew it up and put it on your wall. Like, I'd be very uncomfortable to think that someone had done that of me.
Yeah.
But anyway, they become fast, they have this like, oh, will they, won't they, will they, won't they, I'm really attracted to you, really want to bang you, that kind of stuff. And then they end up sort of falling into it. And it really works out, because then she double dates with, like, his sister and her partner and stuff like that. They, when we get some insight into her backstory, so basically her mum was abused by her dad. She has very unpleasant memories of her childhood in that house. She has a friend called Atlas who is homeless and lives in the house across the way. And she builds a friendship with him, and he's like her solace in those moments. They help each other out mutually, and they end up, like, you know, falling in love and losing their virginity to each other, which is something that's a naked truth that Lily tells Ryle up on the roof, that she lost her virginity to a homeless man, homeless boy.
Which, can I just say, that didn't sit very well with me, because this man is someone that she's truly in love with, and that's how she describes him. Yeah. That's what she attaches to him. And it's not like, it's not like she just met him on the street. Like, they built a relationship. Like, it annoys me that that's how, that's quite jarring, I think.
Of all the, that was like, is that your takeaway? Is that how you want to describe that moment?
Yeah, because when you first hear it, you're like, oh, there's a story here. It's not the story that you expect. I expected her to be, like, a bit of a wild teenager that just, like, got really drunk and, like, met some random bloke on the street. It's not that. It's not that at all.
And, like, we learn about her backstory because she writes these letters to Ellen DeGeneres, and Ellen DeGeneres is also another person that sort of helps her through this time. This is pre, obviously 2016, so it's pre all the stuff that came out from Ellen's stuff from her show. But it's all a bit, so we have that backstory, and then they go on a date with to a restaurant, and that's where she meets Atlas again. At first she thinks he's a waiter, but actually he owns a restaurant. And then you get to learn through her backstory, and like, that he aspired to be a chef, and that's basically what he's owning, his own restaurant. So he's come up in a big way, and he's moved to Chicago because that's where he said he always wanted to be. Chicago, right? Yes. Not Detroit. Yeah. Chicago. I think it's Chicago.
Can we just track?
It's Chicago, not Detroit, right?
Well, actually, it's Boston, but...
It's Boston! It's amazing!
Oh, my Boston! God. Chicago, Detroit, or Boston. Pick a city, any city.
You know what's hilarious? We didn't do it with names this time, because the names I can remember. Wow, Atlas, Lily.
Atlas is a name never to forget.
Elisa. What
name? Yeah.
Boston. It was Boston, guys. Everything's better in Boston. That's it. B-I-B. Isn't that what the restaurant's called? Bib. Better in Boston.
Oh, is that why it's called that?
Yeah.
Oh, missed that.
Oh,
missed
God, I've got the wrong city, and then I can remember that detail.
So
that's where the violence starts, I guess, in the introduction of Atlas in present life. And the incidences that happen about something to do with Atlas. So he finds the magnet from Boston, wants to know where it is. He finds the diary entries. There's two other instances as well.
But I will say, like, that is quite, like, I did, that bit I kind of thought, it's probably, like, I appreciated that in a way, because I think that's quite common, like, in abusive relationships, like, fixating on someone that's not a threat, and, like, just being like, oh, like, you're, like, cheating on me, like, you're doing what X, Y, and Z when they're not.
That was his trigger, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, because I guess, like, I guess it's quite, like, an entry to, like, the horrible, like, reality of, like, abusive relationships, and, like, I guess it's, like, an entry level into, like, sort of starting to understand how they, I guess, like some, well, hopefully, if you've never been in one, then you, like, wouldn't necessarily have any means to understand it if you haven't really, like, read anything like this before. So I guess that's, like, that's a take from it being so popular. Like, hopefully it's, like, given some people an insight into that, so they're, like, more aware of how it can develop, even for, like, I don't know, like, their friends and stuff, because I think it's quite hard sometimes to, like, spot the signs, I guess, for friends, and, like, understand that your friend's probably not ditching you. They're just, yeah, I'm getting quite deep here, but, like, you know what I mean.
Yeah, and also, like, oh, I forgot my train of thought. Also, their relationship progresses quite fast. So within a year of meeting, they're already married and living with each other, which I think... it's quite fast. I mean,
each to their own, because it does happen. People, yeah, it does happen.
I'm not here to critique anyone doing that, but I think that also don't lose sight of things, I think.
Yeah, like, yourself. it definitely, people getting into quick relationships doesn't equate to anything bad necessarily, but sometimes can be, like, just, like, you know, just to, like, oh, okay, let's just check in on that kind of thing, perhaps.
Well, yeah, because they didn't check in on a few things, did they? Like, he was going to go to England, and then he said, I want to move elsewhere afterwards.
Well, yeah, like, they needed to have those conversations that they didn't have. Like, if they'd got... Yeah, like, you know, we have talked about this before, haven't we? Like, I think we were talking about when we talked about Olive and how they didn't have that conversation about wanting kids for like 10 years. You're like, what?
That really annoyed us. Like, how can you not have that conversation? I don't understand how that conversation didn't happen. And I feel like it would have. I really struggled with that. But yeah, they didn't. But these guys were moving on a year, like, no, less than that. I think they were married within 9 months in the book. They go to Vegas, they had a quick one. They were able to get their parents there, whoever needs to be there for them to be able to do it. He bought a house, didn't tell her.
That was weird.
He was like, oh, I bought this, like, and she was like, oh, like, I really like it, but I wish we had... done this together, because it's a big thing to do together, and it happened to be in the same apartment complex that his sister lived in. Yeah
but basically, so I think it was just a little swine
decisions away. It takes a lot of those decisions away from her, makes a lot of the big ones without involving her, so just those little things. But she does have a really good support system around her,
yeah, and her mum, like, build up their relationship, which is quite sweet.
Yeah, but it takes for her to be in a similar situation to understand her mum's perspective. Yeah, point
yeah, that's true.
That was actually quite a nice full circle moment, because she thought that her mum would have a different opinion to the one that she actually gave her in the end.
I will say, actually, Ellie, normally when we talk about books at book club or whatever, we end up trashing them and I end up disliking them, but I actually think I'm, like, starting to appreciate the book slightly more.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'll...
You're like, no, not for me. I still didn't love it.
My opinion.
But, you know, at least it's better than the Love Hypothesis.
Yeah. Although, can we just say why it is that he's violent? She did give him, like, a backstory for that, a slight one.
It's intense.
Which was that he'd accidentally shot and killed his brother. And so he sort of blacks out and gets violent, or if he doesn't know how to, like, handle those emotions when they rise up. And so I guess Atlas was a trigger for him, and he'll just black out and be quite violent. And by the third incident that we get in the book, he just literally decides that I'm not doing this. and she makes a very difficult decision. She manages to call Atlas, actually, who is able to pick her up, and she stays there for a little while, and then she learns that he didn't actually have a girlfriend. He was just lying because he saw that she was like... You have this whole sub storyline with her and him basically going on in the background, which I just didn't think was very necessary. I kind of would have preferred for her to have got there on her own without him, for him to have been just someone that existed in those diary entries, and then for him to be an actual reality at the end when she bumps into him after all that time. Because he leaves it with her. He's like, I can't do this with you, I'm in love with you, but I know that you're in a different place, so we can't do this. But I'll always be here, and then they,
But yeah, so
I mean, it's a nice book. It's fine. It's fine. It's a book that's... I gave it 3.
Yeah, I think I did as well. Yeah, I mean, I got through it quickly, but yeah. So yeah, maybe next time, if we ever read a book talk book again, maybe we can, and if we like it, then maybe we'll do another episode. But also, like, obviously, as we said, we think book talk is a really great thing. We just didn't like this book.
No. We did ask anyone that's a Colleen Hoover fan that listens to this, we've asked on our Instagram as well, if you're a fan, what else would you recommend us to read? I'm in Sainsbury's all the time, and I see Verity and Ugly Love there. Like,
I think Verity was recommended to us by someone. Yes. So it maybe was, we'll try it.
So we'll give that a go. But if you've got any suggestions, because I don't want to like give up on this one. She's a very popular author now, so I would
and
like
also,
to...
And also, kudos to her. Like, nice work. She wrote this in, like, 2000 whatever, and now she's, like, a massive bestseller. Like, I'm impressed with her.
The thing is, are they going to adapt it, possibly?
Yeah, they definitely... Sick, like, if it's not already been bought, I'll be shocked.
Yeah. I won't be watching it. Sorry, I won't be watching it. I might read the Atlas one. But I don't think he was overly written well either.
I've got too many other books to read. I'm literally looking at my to be read list, and I feel a bit stressed. I don't know what to say now.
When have we ever been stuck for words? This is so funny.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Bye. And that's the app. If you like the episode, please leave us a lovely review, subscribe and share with your friends, and we'll love you forever. Follow us on socials at We Are Bookish Pod. Thanks for listening.